Can we thank our worship team for leading our hearts and minds to the presence of the Lord? Thank you. Can we also welcome and thank our children and the students who are worshiping here together with us? Can you say hi to them if they are around you? You all belong here. My name is Paul. I'm one of the pastoral staffs here at Village. And I'm leaning on the Spirit, Holy Spirit, so that He will make this sermon and all the elements of this service relevant and formative across all generations and cultures here this morning. And today's sermon will be quite different from our usual ones. Not necessarily because our lead pastor is going to the family camp with the other half of the congregation and could not know what we do. And not necessarily because I want to downgrade by any means the content and the quality of the sermon considering the lower aged congregants, but because it is the Psalms that we want to be meditating on this morning. The Psalms, it's a very special book within the Bible, and it requires a different methodology and approach in order to grasp the original intents of God when He gave us this book. Here's perhaps what we need to hear from the wisdom of the history, which will help us to better understand this book. One of the Christian church's pastors, early church pastors, Athanasius, once made the following insightful comments about the Psalms. Whereas most of the scriptures speak to us, the Psalms speak for us. Whereas most of the scriptures speak to us, the Psalms speak for us. 대부분의 성경이 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀이지만, 우리에게 주신 하나님의 말씀이지만, 시편은 우리를 대변해서 하나님께 말한다. 라고 했습니다. The Psalms speak for us to God. They become our voice. Even when we feel like being voiceless, they represent how we feel and what we want to say and how we want to say and what we may experience in life. Those real ones, our joys, our longings and desires to know God and love God more, and our resentments in life, our struggles that come from broken relationships, our struggles to search for meanings of life and restorations for the world. The Psalms know our situations and speak on our behalf. The Psalms speak for us to God. And because of that special nature, perhaps we may not want to approach the Psalms with an excessively analytical perspective, by spending too much energy on parsing the words, studying the etymology, sentence flow, and such. Important they must be. The primary focus as we read the Psalms should be to resonate with the poet. That's what poems are for, to resonate with the poet. To resonate with the psalmist, and to identify ourselves in the confessions and the situations. We do not read the Psalms to learn and get even more new information about God and to see if there's any new laws that we need to observe which have not been mentioned in the other 65 books of the Bible. Believe me, there's no new information about God that you can get from the Psalms that you did not get from the other 65 books. But there's one thing in the Psalms. There's one thing in the Psalms that is so unique and so abundant that we should be looking for. That is, we learn how we could relate to God in our various life circumstances. We learn how we could relate to God in our various life circumstances, to resonate with the confessions, and to learn how we could relate to God from similar circumstances in our lives. That's the precious pearl we should be looking for when we read the Psalms. Therefore, church, please do not look for lesson point number one, lesson point number two, and lesson point number three from today's sermon to take away. Not today, but this time, wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit's guidance here and now in this space and time as we read a psalm. And wait to resonate with the psalmist and following after him to learn our own way, our own unique way to relate to God. Learning from the Psalms how I could relate to God by the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to hear and listen to the Spirit in us? Yes. And the best psalm which guides us to this spirituality, I believe, is Psalm 18. Psalm 18 this morning is one of those 150 psalms and one of those 70-plus psalms by King David. King David wrote so many psalms, as you know, and that he wrote so many psalms, that serves as an evidence that the single most characteristic thing about David was his relationship to God. You know, David believes in God, thinks about God, imagines God, addresses God, and prays to God. And not only that, he also forgets God, disobeys God, sins against God, and ignores God. But God is the reality that accounts for and defines all that David does and says. Because the largest part of David's existence is not David, it is God. So what is so Davidish, if we could create such a vocabulary, what is so Davidish, so much like David, is not that he is a perfect man, but he chooses to reorient himself towards God despite his failures and frustrations. He becomes a man after God's heart, not because of his life without blemish, but because of his spiritual humility and his spiritual sensitivity to find God from his everyday life experiences. Let me say this one more time. His spiritual humility and his spiritual sensitivity to find God from his everyday life experiences. That aspect is so much evident in Psalm 18. We must remember that this Psalm 18 appears twice in the whole scripture, once in the Psalms, as in Psalm 18, and the other time in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22, which is near the end of the book. It is placed right before the King David's final words before his death, and that implies that this is like his final life psalm, encompassing all his life experiences, reflecting on who God has been throughout his rough, turbulent, but grace-filled life. So can we all read these three verses aloud together in English first? I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. Perhaps in Korean altogether, 나의 힘이신 주님, 내가 주님을 사랑합니다. 주님은 나의 반석, 나의 요새, 나를 건지시는 분, 나의 하나님은 내가 피할 바위, 나의 방패, 나의 구원의 뿔, 나의 산성이십니다. 나의 찬양을 받으실 주님, 내가 주님께 부르짖습니다. 주님께서 나를 원수들에게서 건져주실 것입니다. And I practice some Spanish. Te amo, oh Jehovah, fortaleza mía, Jehovah, roca mía y castillo mío. Y mi liberador, Dios mío, fortaleza mía en él confiaré. mi escudo irá fuerza de mi salvación, o alto de refugio. Amen. How does David remember and describe his God? How does David remember and how does he describe God? Metaphors, metaphors. The evidence for David's pervasive, saturated awareness of God is in his profusion of metaphors. Rock, fortress, deliverer, refuge, shield, horn of salvation, stronghold. You see, David is immersed in God. For David, it seems every visibility reveals an invisibility. You see, he names God by metaphor from the things that he sees around. It is Eugene Peterson who stated, "Metaphor is the witness of language that there is a comprehensive interconnectedness to life invisible and visible, that is heaven and earth. Everything seen and heard, tasted and touched and experienced, if only followed far enough and deeply enough, brings us into the presence of God." Let me say this once more. Metaphor is the witness of language that there is a comprehensive interconnectedness to life invisible and visible, that is heaven and earth. 다윗의 영성은 보이는 것들을 통해 보이지 않는 것들을 발견해내는 상상력과 통찰력에서 발휘된다는 것입니다. 자기 주변에 있는 평범한 것들을 통해서 하나님을 발견하고 고백했다는 이야기입니다. Even rocks. You see rocks. Would you ever think of God from rocks? Would you ever link this earthy thing to the most heavenly one? Yet the extreme unlikeness provokes in David an awareness of likeness. David notices what is everywhere around him, and the more he notices, the more he notices God. That's the earthy spirituality of the Psalms. Earthy spirituality of the Psalms. Spiritual humility and spiritual sensitivity, this creativity and imagination to find God from the ordinary things and experiences of life. So from the very ordinary stuffs. You know, David was once a shepherd, you know, before he became a king. So we might be imagining that this is the scene that David had in his mind when he was talking about the Lord is my shepherd and we are his flock and he makes us lie down in green pastures and so forth. But not exactly. This is a sheep in New Zealand. What David had probably in his mind was more like this. You know, this is the Palestinian land with the Bedouins, brownish than green, dusty and muddy. There's hardly white, pure white land. Most of them are brownish because of the dust of the world, messy, unclean. And lots of them must be thirsty and hungry, looking for a blade of grass. And lots of them must be hurt, walking and running through the rocky valleys. An ordinary scenery, you see. And David sees himself and God from this picture. From his memories, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, and we are his sheep." The extreme unlikeness provokes in David an awareness of likeness, earthy spirituality. You're looking at a rocky mountain. Would you relate to God from this scenery? What do you imagine that David meant in his mind and his heart when he said, the Lord is my rock"? Those rocks. Would you ever interconnect these rocks with God at all? David also said, "The Lord is my fortress." 하나님은 나의 요새이십니다. What would it be that David had in his mind when he said the Lord is his fortress? Mont Saint-Michel of Normandy? The beauty, the pride, or the luxury of a castle? Or the status of its height above all others? Security from attacks and enemies? His almightiness that sees all things from the above? This would probably be closer to what David had in his mind, a citadel on a hill, like this Tel Arad located near the Dead Sea. I don't know how you'd feel and how you'd see this, but it does not look to me defensively strong enough. And I don't think I will be completely fearless from the enemies, even if I were in there. I'll probably have some fears still remained in me, but at least I will be able to breathe in there. What would David have meant when he said, "The Lord is my fortress"? A complete triumphalism that I'm safe completely, or more like a sense of relief and a choice of trust? How would you imagine, how would you resonate with this metaphor and faith confession, "The Lord is my fortress"? And what's going to be your equivalence of a fortress? Perhaps the Poland police block? "The Lord is my police block. The Lord is my police department, law enforcement." Would you not ever want to interconnect this unlikeness with an awareness of likeness at all? Why not? Doesn't the Bible tell us we are his soldiers in a way? "The Lord is my shield," David said. What do you imagine that David had in his mind when he said, "a shield"? This? Captain America? Maybe not. But more like this. Probably an ancient Near Eastern bronze shield, which does not fly, of course. Sorry about that. Would he just have meant a protection of a shield when he said, "The Lord is my shield. I'm safe behind you, the shield, my Lord"? By saying that God is his shield, perhaps, is it possible to think that he, David, was considering himself as a soldier of God? Because soldiers are the ones who hold a shield instead of a civilian, that he has a mission of life to accomplish with the captain. Why shield instead of a spear or a sword? Does the metaphor reflect what he had to go through when he was fleeing from King Saul? You remember that he did not attack King Saul at all? "The Lord is my shield," as opposed to spear and sword. What's going to be your equivalence of a shield? A tent, maybe? Why not? A shield of protection. "The Lord's my tent." A shield for a rest. A shield of warmth. A shield for a nomad and a traveler of a life. A mosquito net, maybe? Do you think our crucified God would be offended if we said so? Is it a blasphemy? If you are a person for whom the insects are the single most threat of life, would you laugh at a person if she or he said, "The Lord is like my mosquito net"? What is your definition of the holiness of God? A shield is just an ordinary object of life for David. Just like our home security system, alarm. If people laughed when a person said, "The Lord is my security alarm," the same people must have laughed when David said, "The Lord is my shield." Should God be praised only with our religious vocabularies? Or could he be praised also with our ordinary languages? The Lord is the horn of my salvation, says David. Like a shofar, an ancient musical instrument made of a ram's horn, or more like this shorter one, which was like a vuvuzela, you know, which gives a signal of victory. What's going to be a equivalence, today's equivalence of this? Why don't we say that the Lord is the victorious sound of a trumpet? Your word is like an oboe to which every other instrument of an orchestra tunes. Your love is as romantic as the sound of a saxophone. Your voice is like the bass drum as it makes my heart beat. Can God be praised with our ordinary words out of our ordinary experiences? So a psalmist said, all creatures praise your name. All creatures praise your name. And there's a special thanks to a villager, Song Kyungjin-nim, who let me share these beautiful pictures of Oregon. And with this picture, why don't we say, God, you lead me beside quiet waters and restores my soul, like in Psalm 23. We may find ourselves from the trees and from the plants, and we may find the presence of God from the streams of water. Do we not? When Apostle John heard the voice of Jesus in his vision in the book of Revelation, he described, the voice of Jesus was like the sound of rushing waters. Like the sound of rushing waters, the voice of Jesus. Rushing waters, perhaps like this cascade falls. Apostle John matches his experience of God with the cascade falls. When a psalmist witnessed a surging sea, he thought about God and sang of his might, you, Lord, rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. 주께서는 성난 바다를 다스리시고 파도가 일 때 그것을 잠잠케 하십니다. How did they interconnect between this surging sea and the heavenly God? When a psalmist saw this sunset, he thought about God and prayed to God by saying, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. 해 뜨는 데부터 해지는 데까지 여호와의 이름이 높임을 받으십시오. Would you ever think of God when you see a sunset like this? Why not? When the Israelites in the wilderness saw the clouds up in the sky, they did not see them as a coincidence. So a psalmist sang of that experience by saying, in the daytime, you led us with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. 낮에는 구름기둥으로, 밤에는 불기둥으로 우리를 인도하셨습니다. And when Jesus saw a flower, he said to his disciples, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. 온갖 영화로 차려입은 솔로몬도 이 꽃 하나만 갖지 못했다. Jesus remembered of the Father's beauty of grace as he saw a flower on a field. The extreme unlikeness provoked in Jesus an awareness of likeness, earthy spirituality. How would you want to interconnect all the beauties of the world you see around you with your experience of God in life? You know, what kind of God's beauty can you think of when you look at a tree which beautifully changes its color in the fall? Perhaps by looking at those leaves which fall when the season comes, what kind of God's beauty can you think of? Would you want to say anything to God when you look at the moon over this city, which shines the darkness of the world from the sky? Would you want to say anything to God when you look at the numerous stars of the Milky Way that is just laid beside our own Mount Hood? Can they ever be interconnected with God and with your praises to God? I was so glad and excited to some of the artwork by our own villager, Veronica, if you're here, displayed at the fireside of the lobby. When she saw the streams of water, she imagined God and remembered Psalm 1, where the psalmist said, a blessed is like a tree planted by streams of water, and meditated God through a water painting. Isn't this beautiful? When she saw tulips that are around in this city, she named this scene. I don't know if you can read the bottom. The title of this painting is Rejoice. Isn't this wonderful? Why are they rejoicing? What are they rejoicing for? Can you imagine those tulips rejoicing? The Lord is my rock, said David. Again, what do you think David meant when he said rocks? Rocks are not just rocks. For everyone in this room, rocks are perceived differently in a million ways. No two people in this room will have exactly the same understanding and emotions and affections about rocks. It's because we all have different experiences and different memories with rocks. For some, a rock may mean a strong foundation, like a solid foundation, because of your tactile experience of its solidness, right? But for some who might have an experience of being hit by a rock may mean a threat. Something to avoid. Because we all have different experiences and memories with rocks. When we say, the Lord is my rock, although we all say verbally the same thing, we may still be referring to different meanings. You see? And it is true of David also. What do you think David's experience and memory with a rock was like? A rock for David. A young boy who conquered a giant warrior, Goliath, with a rock. Imagine that he's holding a rock on his palm and matching the object with his Goliath experience. Could it ever be the same meaning of a rock and same affections about a rock that anyone could think of when he said and when others heard, the Lord is my rock? Would you imagine that a rock would have been a completely positive and pleasant image and language for David, which gave him a glorious victory over a giant warrior? You know, I once heard from a man who was a returned veteran who was going through a severe post-trauma stress disorder, PTSD, because of his experience of witnessing and participating in a killing of people. Post-trauma stress disorder. You see, David was a young boy who probably for the first time in his life killed a giant warrior. People praised him for his courage and victory, but because of this experience, his long-suffering life started. Fleeing from King Saul, the rock, because of a rock. Would David have thought of this event as a completely positive, pleasant experience? Is a rock just completely a symbol of victory and joy for David, you think? The Lord is my rock. There's so much memories and so much emotions and affections implied in this confession. The Lord is my rock. We could only imagine all the complexities and the emotions of David when he said, "The Lord is nevertheless my rock." The confession is most genuine and true when it was confessed from the mouth of David. And also, "I'll praise you, Lord, with the harp and lyre." 비파와 수금으로 주님을 찬양하겠습니다, said David in Psalm 108. Harp, bipa, is an instrument, but it is not just a musical instrument to David. Remember that David played his harp before King Saul when Saul was struggling with mental illness. His play, David's play, was a cure for the sick people. A harp, it was not just a musical instrument for David, but also a restoration instrument, a way to heal the broken and hurt. So David said, "I will praise your name with my harp." It's not just a song of praise, but a song of healing and restoration. Because of his memory with the harp, it means more than just a harp. So as we said in the beginning, how would we resonate with the confession of Psalm 18 and learn from this psalm a way, our own way, to relate to God from our own experience? We resonate with David not just by repeating his confession that the Lord is my rock, but also by coming up with our own metaphors and our own languages about God and with God. We come up with our own metaphors. That is the way to resonate with Psalm 18. From the very beginning, from the very things that are around us, from the ordinary stuffs that are around us, based on our own unique and distinctive memories we have with those objects and experiences, and also based on your own experience, own unique and distinctive memories with the Father God, we come up with our own metaphor, with our own psalm. So this is the question: what is your own psalm? What is your psalm? How is your visibility, the things you see, revealing the invisibility? How does your life experience and the things you see and touch bring you into the presence of God? The Lord is my blank bracket. The Lord is my, what did you say to the bracket? What did you write in the brackets? What is going to be your own word to describe God and your own experience, your distinctive and unique experience with him? And why? What is your psalm? So as I said in the beginning, today we're going to do something different and unique and fun, of course. Having reflected on Psalm 18 and wanting to be guided by this psalm, so that we would worship God with the psalmist as it is intended to do for us. In a moment, we are going to have some time to write our own psalm on a piece of paper. That will be our response to the word this morning. David said, "The Lord is my rock." What is going to be your own metaphor? The Lord is, what did you say? Which part of your life would you link with the Heavenly One? From your ordinary life experiences, where would you confess and praise the work of God, the ministry of God? Don't you want to sing of His love and His grace with your own words? Challenging as it may sound, and it may be, but we will first of all have two of our villagers, Jan and Jane, thanks to them, who will come and share their own psalm of thanksgiving and her own version of Psalm 23 that came from their ordinary life experiences with very ordinary languages. And after hearing their psalms, we'll have about 4 to 8 minutes time for our own composition. And children can go to the alcoves for drawing and colorings in the same manner. And after the 8 minutes of composition, the ushers will come forward, and we will dedicate our own psalm into the offering bags, just like we offer our finances. And let us offer up our confessions and psalms to God communally. And then we'll communally dedicate the psalms to God, who is worthy to be praised. How does that sound?
Amen.
Amen. And next Sunday, as we continue our series on psalms, we will have our own psalms displayed in this sanctuary on wires and clips. And you can collect your psalm after the services if you want to next week. So if you want to keep yours by yourself today, that's okay, and please do so. But it'll be an amazing communal experience and dedication if you choose to participate so. So would you please welcome Jan as she share her own psalm of thanksgiving.
A psalm of thanksgiving. I praise you, Lord, for you are mighty. You reign over all the earth, not just people, but creatures great and small. You reign over the systems of our world, the heavenly beings, the natural laws. Lord, you have allowed us to peer behind your might and learn about your ways. It is in your providence that we have uncovered the intricacies of your creation. As image bearers, you have allowed us to create within your mighty realm. I praise you for those who understand your mysteries and create mechanisms to enhance our lives, how elements can be channeled to light in our homes, how pipes and faucets move water from place to place, how a spark creates energy that can be contained, how my refrigerator keeps food cold so it is safe to eat. I recall the day when my refrigerator forgot its purpose. The cooling agent refused to work. Its sense of temperature was lost. The gifts of food you had so generously provided were spoiled and no longer safe to eat. We salvaged what we could, but much was lost. Lord, we cried out, is it time to replace this mighty machine that has served our family well? We prayed for wisdom as to how to proceed, and you reminded us of A&P Appliance, of Ron and Quinn. They had come to our aid in the past. We called, and they came. Lord, you provided skilled workers to discern our trouble. You gave them knowledge to determine a course of action. The mechanism was repaired. The temperature controlled. We need not replace the machine. Mighty God, you provided a way to repair our fridge. You saved our wallet from an unexpected expense. You heard our cry for wisdom, and you gave it to us. We rejoice in your goodness. You are mighty.
Amen. Thanks, Jan, and this time by Jane. In Korean, you can follow through the English translation on the screen.
하나님은 나의 엄마, 내게 부족함이 없습니다. 주님께서는 우리 집을 치워주시고, 나를 안락한 침대에 누이시고 따뜻한 집밥을 주심으로 나의 마음과 배를 채워주십니다. 그리고 나를 평안한 몸과 마음으로 회복시켜 주신 후에 바른 길을 보여주시고 인도해 주십니다. 내가 어려운 상황과 힘든 일을 지날지라도 두려울 것이 없으니 주님께서 나와 함께 걸으시기 때문입니다. 주님의 따뜻한 품과 인자한 눈빛을 보니 내 마음 고요하고 든든합니다. 나를 오해하는 사람들 앞에서 하나님은 내 마음속 진심을 봐주시고 따뜻한 밥상을 만들어주시며 축 처진 기운 없는 어깨를 만져주시고 내 고개를 들어 나의 눈과 마주쳐 주십니다. 저의 지갑에 돈이 흘러 넘치는 것보다 더 큰 안전함과 든든함을 느낍니다. 내 사는 날 동안 주님의 아름다움과 사랑이 따르리니 나 하나님의 집으로 돌아가 평생토록 그곳에서 살겠습니다.
Amen. Thank you. Can we give our thanks? Thank you. And now is your time to participate. So pieces of papers are available from the aisle side. If you can just pass them along. And children can go into any of the alcoves for drawings and colorings of how you imagine God. And if you don't want to participate, that's okay. You may want to meditate through the screens. And by end of the two videos, we'll be done. Just letting you know in advance that this doesn't feel like forever. So it's our time to come up with our own song.